Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. You've built a new product or decided to start providing a new service to offer your customers. How do you determine the price you're going to charge? Now, let's think about the flip side to this. Have you noticed how you buy a product or service? In most cases, you look at what's being offered and then look around for a better price, or at least a better value. This behavior means you're not just considering one brand, but also working out what the brand's competition is offering. This is what makes pricing complicated. Unless you know the factors that affect pricing, how to get rid of the competition, and the magic of pricing sequences. Luckily, this is exactly what we're going to dive into today. Now, let's go deep into dartboard pricing with Sean D'Souza of Psychotactics. Have you ever hired a promising applicant only to find out their best performance was during the job interview? Whether you're screening candidates for an important position or looking for ways to improve productivity, Caliper can help. Caliper offers in-depth assessments for potential hires and current employees. Their deep knowledge and personality insights uncover key traits and behaviors, plus what motivates employees to succeed. Caliper's unique approach works with every size company and industry, from startups to the Fortune 500. In fact, their science and expertise have helped over 30,000 businesses hire, retain, and develop top talent. Caliper has an incredible offer for Hack the Entrepreneur listeners. Assess your team for free. You'll discover what makes each person tick and improve the performance of your team. They'll also give you an hour of free consulting. To find out more, visit calipercorp.com/hack. That's CalipeCorp, calipercorp.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we're going deep with Sean D'Souza of Psychotactics and one of his latest creations, I'm going to say, a book he wrote that's a three-part sort of series called Dartboard Pricing. Sean, thanks for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. Always a pleasure.
Oh, very cool. So, dartboard pricing. First of all, let's just get into maybe... It's sold as Dartboard Pricing, a book. When I heard about it, I thought it was one book, but it's actually broken into three separate books. Can we just kind of quickly discuss the sort of, I guess, psychology behind breaking the one book into three separate books?
Usually when I start writing, I have no idea where I'm going. So that's probably my problem. But it's also a factor of understanding what three things a person would need to do. In any subject matter, you could have 25,000 things. And I'm going, okay, what they need to know is A, B, and C. And that will get them to an endpoint. Because at the end of the day, all I'm looking for is endpoint. I'm not looking for giving more information. So once you read the book, you realize, okay, you understand the psychology of pricing, you understand the structure, and then you understand what sequencing is all about. So that's why it got broken up into three books. I tend to do that with a lot of stuff because it constrains me in a way rather than just write endless amounts of information.
Right. And that makes sense. But ultimately, I mean, the three books could be combined into one book. They read like one book and they kind of play
Correct.
Off of each other.
Correct.
Right. But as going through them, I have to admit that it makes it easier as the reader or the consumer to, it's less like unwieldy to have to go through one book. It's to the point. It's backed by like statistics and story to kind of hit the points home, but it's not 300 pages because it's mostly because they're individually done for you.
Yes. And it's psychological in a way that you can feel like, hey, I finished one book. Let me start the second one. It's almost like a chapter. It's not the length of a chapter, but you feel you've accomplished something. And that is part of consumption, which is a completely different topic, which is when you make something not so intimidating, then people go, oh, I feel safe in this area. I will go through this area and then I will do the next one.
Very cool. So let's talk about the books. Let's talk about dartboard pricing. Dartboard pricing, as titled by the book, is a systematic method to increase prices without losing clients. So what, as a broad stroke, what makes pricing like throwing darts at a dartboard?
You look at anything and you say, well, that has a fixed price. As soon as you get in an airline, you realize that, you know, once I flew from, where did I fly from? Somewhere in New York to Barcelona or something. And I'd paid full fare, like, I don't know, $1,500 or whatever. And the guy next to me paid $200. He's sitting right next to me. Right? You go to buy a house, you say, well, that's historical. You know, we have data for 100 years. And you say, I want $250,000 for the house. The agent says, I can get you $240,000. The buyer wants $220,000. The council says it's worth $150,000. What's going on? So pricing becomes a factor of perception. And building that perception is what gets you a price. It's that simple.
The airline example and the housing example, are those not sort of responses to supply and demand? There's only one of those house. There's only one of that seat you're in.
They are supply and demand, but the point is that technically you should be able to nail it down. You should say, you know, and a computer costs so much, an iPhone costs so much. You can look at any product today, any service today, and it's all over the place. I bought a book the other day. I paid $50 for it. I spoke to someone else. They paid 10 euro for it. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds like a completely different book that I bought. So obviously something caused me to buy that, and it's largely perception. So what I'm saying is that while people say, you know, how can it be? We have to, you know, fix a price based on how much it costs and then what competitors are charging and all of that stuff. And by and large, yes, if you're in one of those markets, you could. But we've seen that with historical stuff. We've seen that with Starbucks. You know, they were selling coffee at $1. These guys came in at $4 or sell it at $4. We've seen Starbucks now selling at $4. And I go to a cafe where they sell it for $5. So what we have here is, how much better is the coffee that I drink versus the coffee that Starbucks offers? And what we have here are these floating points, really. And people think, well, it's going to be just one price, but it's never one price. You can take, say, we do an article writing course. Today, it's priced at $3,300. When we started, it was $1,500. Now, essentially, you have the same course, the same teacher, the same content, more or less. There has been a lot of change over the years. But to go up that much from 1500 to 3300, how does that happen? So what the book does is it shows you how you can do this systematically. So what we have right now is a situation where if we say we're not having the article writing course, like this year we decided not to have it, then people get angry. They want to pay $3,300. So you get to a situation where you can increase prices and not lose customers. And the opposite happens in a way. What we do is, you look at a simple example. I remember when I was just starting out and there was this workshop by Jay Abraham. And Jay Abraham was really well known at that point in time. I think he still is, but less so. Well, he was having a workshop for $25,000. I'd never been to a workshop for $25,000. What was I going to get for $25,000? But the conversation changes. So when someone says, I'm going to have a workshop for $50, you go, okay, And if someone says, I'm going to have a workshop for $25,000, you go, what am I going to get? So nothing, you know nothing about the workshop. But the conversation changes. And when people say that prices are fixed, then they're missing out some of the elements that cause someone to charge a higher price versus you charging a lower price.
Are those causes always external? Meaning, as much as it's about perception from the customer side, is it also perception from our own side? Meaning that we almost have to like get our head around being able to charge $25,000 for a workshop rather than $25?
Yes, it is. It's always so the battle is, you know, with the article writing course or any courses or any product that we've done. It's not the reason why I call it dartboard pricing is because you don't really know what price to put on a product. You do a PDF. So we have one PDF which is called pre-sale, and it's sold at $500. Why would you sell that at $500? I mean, you can go and get dartboard pricing, which has three books and more content probably for $49. But this other book sells for $500. It has approximately the same pages. What kind of somersaults do I have to make in my own mind to have the guts to charge $500 and get away with it? That is always the problem that entrepreneurs face. And so they go, you know, my audience can't sustain this price. But there's a very, very early lesson that I learned. When I first started out, I was charging like $150 for my consulting. I don't know whether it was for two or three sessions or whatever. And so this person said, oh, I can't afford it. And during the course of the conversation, she said that she had to go out and buy a car. And I said, what car are you buying? And she said, oh, there's this $50,000 car. And that's when I realized that there is something wrong with the way I'm presenting the information. It's not so much the fact that it's not good, that it doesn't have, can change your life or do whatever it's supposed to do. But there is something wrong that is causing the person to value the information so low and to value that car so high. It's not, and to answer your question, yes, everyone has to work out. I mean, whether it was Steve Jobs trying to, you know, put in a price for the iPad or say, for instance, a real spectacular failure, which was the Segway, which was $8,000. In that case, they probably go, okay, all this technology has gone into it. These spots have gone into it. You know, it should be $8,000. So there is the flip side, which is a person spends too much time, too much money, too much of an expense, and then price is way above. And then most of us do the opposite, which is we devalue our prices or our products and services, and we're afraid to raise the prices because we think customers will leave. And that's not true at all.
Right. And so with a Segway, with an iPhone, there's true tangible technology involved in and manufacturing. When it's services, when it's digital products, books, courses, even like consulting and services like that, it seems like we, because I'm assuming I'm not unique in this way, we want to create the price before we create the product or service.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like when you were creating a PDF for $500, it's almost like that's your perception leading into it. If you're creating a product that's $25 leading into it, but if all of a sudden if that workshop is $50 and I have to create it in the next month, I'm going to expect that customers are going to expect something from it. If it's a $25,000 workshop, I'm going to expect that they're going to expect something greater or something different. Do you know what I mean? So it changes the perception into it.
That's the point. The point is I don't start at 500. When we started selling that, it was, I think, 175 or something like that. So the whole perception is not that you start off, or rather your perception might be, we have to start at this price. The whole thing about dartboard pricing, and it's a paradox because it says dartboard pricing, which suggests any price will do, but it starts off at a specific price and then moves it up systematically. So even with the 5000 BC, which is our membership site, when we started out, it was $7 a year. This is not like you're not hearing things, $7 a year. And then it went up a whole 50%. It went to $11 a year, right? And we still lost 50% of the audience. Like the next year, we lost 50% of the members. And you would say, well, you changed the price. Well, it went up $4.
50%, Sean.
I know. And that's the whole point. The point is that it wasn't the price, because I asked them and they go, you know, it wasn't valuable for me. I don't care about $4. And in a flip story, what we talk about in dartboard pricing is the regular price and the premium price. And clients come back once they read this concept of the yes, yes system, and they go, where's your premium price? So essentially what clients are saying is, I would like the best possible, and you're giving me a little less than best. One of our clients complained that he couldn't get the premium price. We had to put the premium price, and then he went around the website looking for all the premium prices. We made $20,000 more because of that client being a real pain. So, you know, you look at what you buy every day. If you have a pencil, now you might go, okay, a pencil costs, I don't know, 50 cents, but there are pencils that sell for $5. So what makes a pencil sell for 50 cents and $5 at the very same time? And that's the kind of question you should be asking yourself.
Okay, so you touched into this. This is book two, Increasing Prices, How to Use the Power of the Yes, Yes System. Your take is that how there's always like, how did you say it? You said, in most cases, you look at what's being offered when you're looking to buy a product or service, and then you look around for a better price or at least a better value. And this behavior means that you're not just considering the one brand, but you're also working out what that brand's competition is offering. And so then you use yes, yes pricing to eliminate competition.
Correct. Because, are you going to ask a question?
Well, I was just going to say, you used this excellent example of regular and premium coffee in the book that was so simple and so like, wow, there it is. I get it.
So when you look at regular coffee, this is where the science comes in. There is something called a yes and yes grid. If you go to Psychotactics, it's on all our pages because this client was completely crazy. I think it's missing on one page, but all the sales pages, it's there. So you want to copy it, you copy it. But people get it wrong. And the reason why they get it wrong is because they get creative. And you want to, like, if there is a red tick, put a red tick. If there is this, put, you know, just this. But people just get creative. What is the yes and yes all about? The yes and yes is very simple. It has, say you go to drink a cup of coffee, and the cup of coffee is $4. And then that's the regular coffee. And then you say the same cup of coffee, same size, same type of coffee, and then they're offering that for $4.50, but that $4.50, that premium coffee, comes with a muffin, and the muffin is $2. So in your brain, what you're thinking is, wait, it's $4 for the coffee, $2 for the muffin, that's $6. I'm getting it for $4.50, and you have no choice. You're always going to go for the premium. So does this work for just, you know, a $50, 50 cent thing? No, it also works for something that's, say, 5,000 and 5,500, 3,000 and 3,300. It doesn't matter what it is. If you load up that, and this is where the crux of the whole pricing structure works on. It works on the bonus. So what we do when we, in one interview many years ago, I told the interviewer that when we start out with a product or a service or a workshop, we first work on the bonus. Because when it comes to the end point, people have already decided that they want to buy. If you go, you know, I'm going to buy a fridge. Well, you're going to buy a fridge. You know, you look at different fridges, but eventually you'll come down to one fridge. And then you have option A and option B. And if option B has something additional, then you're going to take that premium option.
So you work on the bonus. So the bonus is not just an after the fact, okay, I have this to sell. Sean told me when I heard him that I needed a bonus. What PDFs do I have lying around on my hard drive?
No, the bonus, that is a big mistake. And having multiple bonuses is probably also a big mistake. So for instance, we have that on pages where they have been legacy pages and we haven't been so smart over the ages, over the years. But now I'll just stick to one bonus. So what I'll do is I'll work out what is something that the client really, really wants. And usually when, say, for instance, I'm writing this book on pricing, there will be several things that I can't include in the book, but are exceptionally valuable to the client. And I'll take one of those things and say, okay, this is the bonus, put a spotlight on the bonus. And to me, the bonus is more important than the product or the service. The client must feel that the bonus is, if you take that bonus away, it's like taking an ice cream from a kid. You're going to get trouble.
You've taken ice cream from a kid, I can tell.
Yes.
So the bonus, okay, the bonus is more important. The bonus is created. You said a $5,000 workshop to a $5,500 workshop. You said it with coffee. So to be very explicitly clear, regular and premium, how much should they differ by?
Not more than 15%. Sometimes it could be ridiculous. Sometimes it could be 3%. But here's the thing. Here's how you set the prices. You set what you want. So say, for instance, you say, I want $500 for this workshop, right? So you can go about it two ways. You can say, okay, I'm going to go 500 and then I'm going to put 10% on that or up to 15%. So that makes it 550 or 500, whatever. 575. Okay. So you have a regular part of the workshop with no bonuses, $500, the premium version, 550 or 575. The other way to do it, which is a less strain on your brain, is just to take the final figure that you want. Say you want it to be 575. Okay. So that's your premium, 575. Anything lower than that becomes the regular, but you don't go too low. So you still keep it within that band, as it were. So maybe this one will be 575 and the regular will be 555. Now what happens is the client is not choosing between your workshop and another workshop. They're choosing between your workshop and your workshop, which is why it's called yes and yes. Because when you go on most sales pages, what you have is a yes and no. You either buy it or you don't.
There we go.
And here what you do, yeah. Here what you're doing is the opposite. Or not the opposite, but you're doing, I'm choosing between this or that. You know, and of course, like for instance, if you, you know, maybe when you think of when you were dating, you're going, if you had the option of going out with two different women, or if you're a woman, whatever, you, with the opposite sex, and you had, you go, okay, this is regular, this is premium. It's the same thing with chocolate. It's the same thing with buying a computer, you know. Often in a presentation, I show people like an iMac and it costs $3,000. And then I show people an iMac, same model, same size and everything, and a box of chocolates. And I ask the audience, which one do you want? And everyone says, we want the iMac with a box of chocolates. But the box of chocolate only costs $10 or $15. And I go, what if you take away the box of chocolates? We won't buy the iMac from you.
I'm laughing because it's true. I know it.
So that's how crazy people get. I mean, it's only a $10 or $15 product with a $3,000 purchase that you're making, but that drives them crazy. So they stop focusing on the product. And the reason why they stop focusing on the product is not because they don't want the product. It's because they've already done all their research on the product. They know that they're going to buy the product. When they get to the buy now button, they are looking for something that would help them make that decision. And that's what the bonus does. So the crux of what happens at that buy now button is the bonus. And if you just have it like a ship in the night, you know, here's the bonus, and you don't kind of give it its own space and own its own, you know, explain what the bonus is and why it's important, then nobody cares.
So for you out there listening, because this is making all of a sudden a ton of sense to me, because I can see it as Sean's talking. He's talking yes, yes, pricing system, which is he has a table on all of his sales pages. He has a table. I'll link to one of them in the show notes for you so it's easy for you to see. But I'm looking at Dartboard Pricing Series, and there's literally a table with three columns. One on the left is what's being offered, and then there's red check marks one for regular, one for premium. So book one for Dartboard pricing is there. Book two is there for both. Book three is there for both. And then there's a bonus, which is how finding your target profile helps with pricing strategy. And regular doesn't have it. Premium has the check mark. Regular price is $47.95. Premium is $49.95. $2 difference. What's sort of the breakdown in sales, Sean? How many people take premium on this offer over regular?
Almost no one takes regular. On almost any product that we sell, almost like we have, I would be very generous if I said 1% bought regular. Very, very generous. No one buys it. It just, their brain doesn't allow them to buy the regular. But occasionally you will get one person and then they go, oh, we made a mistake. Can we pay the difference?
So the first time I ever bought something from you, Sean, I wanted with every just like bit of me to buy the regular price one. Just because I didn't want to give in to whatever psychological tactic you were using on me, which I didn't understand at the time. Yet I bought the premium. I was like, I don't want to give, I know there's something so subtle here that I don't want to give into, but I did it. So looking at this now, there's a $2 price difference, which obviously fits into your less than 15%. This is about 4 or 5%, it looks like. But is this like price anchoring, where you've now anchored me?
Yes.
So $47.95 looks cheap now because it's anchored to $49.95. But then it's like, well, I'm not going to take $47.95 because it doesn't get the bonus. So now I haven't just all of a sudden stumbled on a quote unquote ebook that's $50. I've now gone through this process of like, well, it's cheaper than that one. And then, but
you've decided that you want the bonus. That bonus is driving you crazy. I could slip away the ebook and you might not notice. I'm not saying I would do that. I'm just saying that you would want to see the bonus. Your whole focus is on the bonus. So this, if this is the thing that you want to take away from this conversation, it's that if you're not structuring the bonus well enough, you're making a mistake, because I'm not thinking of something else right now. I'm just thinking, what is the bonus? Now, there are different elements to pricing. There's, you know, you have to give the information, you have to create uniqueness. There are lots of things. This is not just, okay, just have a bonus. But when it gets down to that point, the bonus really matters and it'll drive you crazy. It's always about taking the ice cream. I gave you the ice cream, I'm taking it away from you. You can't bear it.
I wanted to. So you're right. So to be clear, this Yes Yes system, this is book two. This is the middle. This to me was really tangible, hands-on, how to structure the pricing, how to structure your sales offer. And then book one and book three are very like more theoretical and kind of the mindset around the pricing. I mean, you talk about like the three gorillas and the ways to make your offer more unique and the scarcity and all that stuff, which is absolutely essential in pricing. But I really kind of really got stuck on book two because of it was such a, because it's a system. It's literally a system you put into place where you're like, if you do this exactly as I tell you to do it, it will work. You can email me after and tell me that you did it 90% like this and it didn't work, and I'll tell you why, because you missed that 10%, which I really liked, because it's true and it's right there. So
yeah, if you are creative, in fact in the book it shows you examples of people who are creative. They make little mistakes, like very tiny mistakes, and I'm saying just copy it, don't be creative. But people still want their own touch on it, and then they go, it doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because you change this stuff. It's not rocket science. It's a box. Just put the ticks where they're supposed to be. Change the name from my product to your product. Just do that. Don't go around mucking around with it. It's not worth your time because it works.
Right. And another thing that absolutely works is this sequential pricing.
Yes.
So the magic of sequences, you call it, and why they transform a business. So this can work if you are creating your first product or service right now, or if you have a bunch of them. But you talk about the three structure, like this three sequence structures, which are the pricing, the structure, and then the strategy sequence. So what is this price sequencing that you're talking about?
So you have to think of it as, this is the most obvious one. So, you know, you buy something for $5, for $10, for $15, $25. So this is like the pricing sequence. And that is the most obvious one of all. But on, say, psychotactics, when people, right until 2009, their first purchase was say, the subscriber thing, which was free. And then the first purchase was $119, which was the brain audit. Now, since then, we put the brain audit on Amazon and stuff. So it's now at $9.99 for the book itself. But the point is that whatever the sequence is, it needs to go, you know, 1, 2, 3. So it's like school, you know, year one, year two, year three, year four, that kind of thing. So that's the pricing model, if I remember.
Yeah, totally. We've heard it before described as sort of like value ladder. And some people talk about like slowly, you get them in at a lower price ticket and you slowly work them up further and further in higher ticket.
Yeah, and that's the most straightforward way to do it.
Then there's the structure one. Here's what really hit it home for me is your example. This to me really sort of, it's the third book, but then it really sort of hit me back home to the first book, which is that idea of finding ways to increase your prices, right? And sort of like the factors that affect the pricing. And it was your idea of an airline again. So you have this airline that you use and you enjoy, but you have the means to fly business class. The airline you choose doesn't have business class. So you as a customer don't just choose to not fly business class on this particular flight. You go to a competitor who offers it.
Yeah, that's approximately what you do. I mean, you do that every single time. If you are used to a specific type of, it drives you crazy because every time you're used to a certain level, then that's where you're going to stay with. So if the airline doesn't offer it, you're going to get stuck there. I forget exactly what the structural thing was, and your airline thing put me off a bit. Did I say airline in the book?
Yeah, totally. You talk about the airline.
Okay, okay, sorry.
So this was, I believe, in like strategy, and it was that. And so the reason why I'm saying it drives me back to the first book, like mentally, why this really hit home was because how I said it's kind of a mental game for us as the creators, right? To get our head around creating a $50 workshop and creating a $25,000 workshop, how it's this big mindset sort of shift. And it really helps because there are customers of yours who will be buying your $50 workshop, but they're also going to go buy $25,000 workshops, some of them.
Correct.
From other people if you don't offer them.
Yes. So if you go to the Psychotactics website, you'll find this all over the place. It's just it's technically all over the place, but it's not. So you go, well, where is this? You know, is it going from A, B, C, D? But it's not. I mean, you can get, say, the pricing book for $49, say something on testimonials for $29. They're the same number of pages. Technically, they do the same job, which is one will get you better clients. The other one will get you to sell at different prices. It's very difficult for you to say this book is, you know, 100% more effective than that book. Or even if you look at the brain audit, which now is at $9.99, well, is it, you know, 500% less effective than pricing? It's not. But what you're doing is, and this is the whole randomness of pricing. So as it's the whole paradox, which is where I go about calling it structured, but then you follow this random pattern.
Right. And could there be other reasons for having a very sort of high ticket price up your sequence, like in the sequence, even maybe if people aren't going to buy it right now, but is there like an aspirational reason or something people might sort of strive for within you and then perceive the rest of what you offer at a higher value?
Absolutely. It's very, very important. I mean, there is now a product that we don't have anymore, which is called the Protege series, which was $10,000. I mentioned it on the podcast. We don't have it. Why would I mention it? It's very clear. It's people benchmark everything based. It's what you'd call the anchoring system. So Say you have a $5,000 workshop and you have it once every 3 years. It doesn't matter that you have it once every 3 years or 5 years or whatever. But having that then enables you to go, okay, this one is cheaper in comparison. I remember the same thing when I was buying Jay Abraham stuff. His first book was like $300. I thought it was cheap. How can you think that a book is $300 is cheap? And the reason was that the next book was $500. And the next one was, you know, and then he went all the way to his $25,000 course. And so now $300 was like, wow, this is so cheap. If you're going to just have just this $5, $6, $7 thing, it's fine. It depends on how your business is structured, because some people will have 100,000 people on their list buying at $7. Amazon is an example of that. You know, they just do it in volume, but most of us are not going to have 100,000 people on our list. So if you want to sell something at $500, you better have something at $5,000 so that they can benchmark against the $5,000.
Right. Which, so it can have, I guess that's how it drove it home, because it shows how the pricing works as a dartboard, how we make up this pricing. But when you get to the last third book of this with the sequences, so the structure pricing sequence, the way you talked about it, or the structure sequence is, I think, literally just a way when somebody gets to your, they get introduced to you. Like, I like how you said, when somebody signs up to the email list on Psychotactics, that's like their first purchase. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your whole structure system was that there's a very logical structure, and not all companies need this. Not all businesses have this. But it is one way you can do a sequence, which is, here's what you need first, and then here's the next one, here's the next one, here's the
correct
next one.
Which, like,
you
karate.
Don't do at Psychotactics.
I do. You get in as a subscriber, you buy the brain audit. Most people end up in the third step, which I call the third conversion, in 5000 BC. They do. So there is a very clear structure to it. And then so what we have is this left to right kind of movement that they have. It kind of, the three types that I talk about in the book, they kind of overlap. And so it's like, okay, what is he talking about right now? But the point is that if you think of school, for instance, school has a logical progression. It's, you know, year one, year two, year three, year four. Karate has it, you know, white belt, I don't know, yellow belt, orange belt, whatever. You have a structure to it, and you can put a structure to it. It doesn't always have to be price related. It could be random. So, for instance, people would go from 0 to 119 to 250, and then you know, it could be something else. But the structure is what you determine as stages in the whole thing, the whole pricing structure. You decide you're going to go to room 1, room 4, room 6, and room 8. And that's your structure. And people might not pay the progressive price. So they might not pay $5, $10, $15, $20. They may pay $5, $25, $15, and $400, something like that.
So they probably wouldn't jump straight to the $5,000 workshop.
No, you don't want them to. You want them to go through your system. You want them. You can't go into a karate school and say, I want a black belt. They'll say, go to hell.
They will. So the pricing structure and the sort of the way you lay out the product offerings or service offerings that you have has to inherently, if you're starting to build them, no matter which one you've built sort of first, if you're thinking of it in a terms of a structure or a sequence based on pricing, you need to then start at the bottom and work your way up to that $5,000 workshop rather than start at the $5,000 workshop and work your way back.
No, this is partially why it's called a dartboard price. There are people who will start at $5,000. They, you know, the other day I was listening to a webinar just out of boredom, and people who were on Facebook, just trolling around on Facebook, you know, clicking on some random webinar, the first offer they got was $1,500. They'd never seen the guy before. They didn't know anything. They just attended the webinar. $1,500. It doesn't have to be $5 to $10 to $1,500. This is what the first book talks about. It talks about those gorillas. It talks about information about the unique. This guy gave the whole spiel, how he was really poor, how he got rich, how he knows Richard Branson. He gave the information that this specific person wanted to hear. So $1,500 wasn't that much if that's what they wanted to achieve.
So going back, if you could, when you first launched 5000 BC, which is now about $300 or more per year, it started out at $7 per year. Would you start out at $7 or would you start out in between this and $300?
No, I would definitely start out more than $100. $7 was just, people just wanted a place to hang out. So they hung out. We had a blog behind a password that would change every year. Everyone knew the password. It would just change on December 25th or something every year. So it was a pretty simple website. It was just a conversation place. It was a bulletin board kind of thing.
Right. All right. Well, I think we've got through this one, Sean. So Dartboard Pricing is the book. As sort of the elevator pitch, I love your headline for it. How do you systematically raise prices without losing customers? Is that what people can expect if they, or when they pick up the books and buy it, to be able to systematically raise prices without losing customers? Or is it also for people sort of getting ready to launch their first product or service?
It's, I hate to say for both. I like to take a stance. It's like if you're going, if you're trying to price something, you have to understand what's the logic behind the pricing. So whether you're launching your first workshop or your product or whatever, or if you already have products and you want to increase those prices and you don't know how, then it works for both people. But the core is that you have to understand what's really happening. Why am I buying this at a higher price? Why am I being so ridiculous? And that's what the series really helps you with. It helps you with not just understanding that, not just implementing it, but then going into stuff that we didn't talk about, which is, you know, the whole dinner sequence and stuff, which is totally fascinating because, you know, we have clients that have been around for like 10 years now. Online, that's very rare. And they buy into like four or five courses. You know, each of the courses costs like $2,000. So why do they keep coming back? That is what you've got to understand. Why do they keep coming back? Why is this like a hotel, but you can never leave? That's what pricing is about.
It's like Hotel California. So if people listening want to check it out, I will link to it. You can also Google Psychotactics and Dartboard, and it'll come up to the sales page. Because another thing is, some of your sales pages are hard to find if you're not in the right part in the sequence for it anymore, I've found. But also, if you are just interested in hearing more of what Sean has to say, he's a very, very smart man, writes amazing articles via email. So if you want to just make that first purchase, like he said, you can go to psychotactics.com and get onto the email list, which is free except for the cost of that email, and then see where you want to find your way within the sequence there. Sean.
That's exactly right. Yeah, thank you.
Once again, as always, it's absolutely great to have you. It's just great to have you share your knowledge with us and to kind of, I think, give us some clarity on this issue of pricing. So thanks so much for taking the time today.
You're welcome. It's almost time for my walk.
When you make a wrong hire, you feel it immediately. Your team's performance, morale, and bottom line all suffer. Whether you're screening candidates for an important position or looking for ways to improve productivity, Caliper can help. To find out more, visit calipercorp.com/hack. That's CALIPER, Caliper Corp, CORP.com/hack, and get started for free today. All right, well, that was a lot of fun. Sean he's one of my favorite people. He's one of my favorite writers writing about marketing today. And I love when I get to just sit down and talk to him. And I really, really dug the Dartboard Pricing books. So it's cool we got to sort of go deeper into it and share that with you. And hopefully you can take that into your business. Psychotactics.com is Sean's site. Make sure to check it out over there when you get a chance. So we are doing Hack the Entrepreneur Mailbag. I'm going to answer your questions live on the show. Anything, marketing, business, content strategy, building products, anything you want that I can answer for you, I will do that. I can also mention your name and your website, get you some exposure if you wish, and a link off of my site
to yours, which helps with the SEO and stuff, if you wish. Yeah, drop me an email, john@hacktheentrepreneur.com, or hit me up on Twitter or Facebook, whichever you prefer. And yeah, give me your question. And then also, if you want your name and your website on there, leave that for me as well. I'm going to be answering 3 to 4 per episode, and the first one's going to come out in about a week or two, depending on how we can get these questions sorted out and the new format. But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to answering your questions. So head over to hacktheentrepreneur.com. You can also get onto the email list and hit reply to any of those emails with your question. That would work too. Plus, it's Monday, I think May 1st right now, when this is coming out, of 2017. If you haven't seen the site, hacktheentrepreneur.com, you should go check it out, because this is one of the last days you can actually see this site. This was the one that the people over at Rainmaker built for me and had designed a year and a half ago or so, but it's being changed. It's a complete overhaul. The site's going to look completely different in about a week, so now's your chance. But yeah, either way, I'll let you know when the new one's up and you can check that one out. It's going to be pretty cool. All right. It was fun. Thank you so much. Make sure to check out Sean and Psychotactics. Check out the books if you wish to go deeper into dartboard pricing. If you have any follow-up questions about dartboard pricing or pricing in general, send those over to me and I'll answer them on one of the upcoming Hack the Entrepreneur mailbag episodes. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really, truly, absolutely appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.